at the right hand. And it says that this, they covered their ears. They couldn't hear it because they couldn't hear the truth. And they started yelling at the top of their voices. And they all rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. They began to stone him. You know, that's angry. Sometimes I think we skip over that stuff and we just kind of let it slide, but that's mad. I mean, when I was in Wyoming and I was pushing cows, there's this one point, and Kathy doesn't like to hear about this stuff, but there's this one trail that I was on that was going through this deep valley, okay? And the cows, a lot of them were going down the bottom, down the creek bed of it, and on both sides it was like these steep cliffs. But some of the cows decided they were going to go on this trail that was about halfway up on this steep cliff going down into this thing. They would get so far, and then they'd just stop because nobody was behind them, okay? And so guess who decided he would go on that trail, the steep trail, alongside the steep cliff up there to make him go? Well, me, of course. Who else would be there that would do that? So I'm on a good horse, and so I get on this trail, and the trail's, it's about that wide. That's plenty wide. And there's a steep, don't listen to this, Kathy. It's all right. There's a steep, I didn't tell her about this. There's a reason. There's a steep drop-off down this way, and then a good-sized wall over on this side. And so I'm riding, and I'm pushing this group of cows. There's about 15 of them in front of me, and I'm pushing along, and I'm riding along. They're doing real good because I'm behind them. But then I look down, and there are all the cows that are in the bottom. They decide to stop, and I don't have time to go all the way back down the trail and push those cows, too, and then push these cows, because as soon as I go down to push those cows, then these cows are going to stop. You know what I'm saying? So I'm on a trail steep enough that as I'm sitting on a horse, I can go like this and grab a rock off the side of the mountain. I mean, literally, like this, and I can grab a rock because it's right there. So I'm riding along pushing these cows. Those cows stop. I reach down, grab it, yeah, and I throw a rock down at them and get them moving. And I do this all the way through the canyon. By the time I get almost to the end of the canyon, I'm mad because I'm throwing more and more rocks trying to keep those things down. And when I look at this and I see these guys are mad enough to throw rocks at a man, and I'm not talking little pebbles. I'm not talking pea gravel. I'm talking picking up rocks that weigh a pound, 2 pounds, and surrounding a man and throwing rocks as hard as they can at him. Not just trying to scare him, but hitting him, collapsing him in the head, in the legs, in the forearm, in the belly. Stoning him to death. There is anger there. Not just a little bit of anger, a lot of anger. What would make me that angry? To stone a man. But what gets me is Stephen's response. And it's important. We need to hear it. Because frogs, as the temperature is rising, as the times are getting worse, as more and more people are saying what wrong is right and what's right is wrong, and the persecution begins to build, and we don't recognize it, but it's building right now. Amen. Anybody seeing it? It's building right now. In our own communities, in our own schools, in our own relationships, in our own neighborhoods, it's building right now. As it continues to build, we need to understand how we are to respond to it. Because there's a lot of different responses, especially as it gets harder and harder, especially as it gets closer and closer to home, especially as it starts to affect not only my life, but the lives of my children and my job and all these different areas. We need to understand and know how to respond, because our response is going to be absolutely vital. Vital to what comes next and how things play out. And I see all kinds of responses already. And I'm not saying any of these are wrong. Okay? As a matter of fact, if God is leading you in some of these responses, okay, I get that. Make sure it's a God leading. If he's calling you to store things up, then store things up. Just remember, just remember. If he's calling you to do something else, that's okay. But what is the response that God's wanting us to have to persecution? Look what happens here in Acts chapter 7. As they're stoning him, while they are stoning him, and this goes counter. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm interrupting myself while I'm reading scripture. I'm just going to tell you right now. This goes against my grain, okay? This goes against. I don't want to say it goes against my spirit, because it falls in line with my spirit, but it goes against my human nature to even say this, okay? So don't think I'm some wacko weirdo. I'm probably feeling the exact same way you're going to feel, but this is the truth of Scripture and what he's saying. And above all things, we need to use Scripture as our guide to our reaction and how we do things, okay? So this is what Stephen does. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. First he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Did he know what was coming? Yeah. Stephen knew exactly what was about to transpire through the end. He didn't have some delusion that someone was going to all of a sudden jump in with a blue cape and a big S on the front and say, no, stop these stones. He didn't think that. He knew what was coming. He said, Jesus, receive my spirit. Does that sound familiar to anybody? It sounds familiar to me too. Let's take a look real quick in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Verse 46. Just in case it doesn't sound familiar to everyone, we want to make sure that y'all get it. Here's another guy. What's this guy's name? Jesus. Here's another guy. Luke chapter 23, beginning verse 44. Wow, this guy's in the heat of the moment too, isn't he? Hanging on a cross. He's got two bad guys on either side of him. Says it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining. Stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You see the similarity there? It's kind of interesting because Jesus knows who's in heaven, who's sitting on the throne. And he cries out, Jesus cries out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And here we've got Stephen, who just moments before looked up to heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And he now cries out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, do you think these are just common words that everyone maybe say before they know they're about to die? No. Do you realize that both Jesus and Stephen are quoting another gentleman, another person? In Psalm 31, open with me. Psalm 31. They're both quoting from the same idea in Psalm 31. And I have to admit to you, I just jumped to the cross reference. I went to Psalm 31, verse 5, and I looked at it very quickly, and it says, into your hands I commit my spirit. There it is. They're both quoting from David, They're both saying the same verse. They're quoting from Scripture, which is a very good thing to do in times of stress and trouble, is quote from Scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to guide your mind and your heart and your actions and your thoughts and your words. Very great thing to do. And so I thought it was really wonderful that I could go to Psalm 31, and there it was, just like they had said, only just in a little different version. It says, into your hands I commit my spirit. But the neat thing is, if you look at what Psalm 31 really is, what it's about, it's really about our response. It's about how we should, frogs, it's how we should respond to what's going on around us. Not in anger, not in retribution, not in great protests, not in judgment saying, you're wrong, I'm right. See, I've got the word of God, I'm right, you're wrong. But look what it says. I like the footnote is what got me when I started looking at the context. Psalm 31, it says, is a prayer for deliverance. When confronted by a conspiracy so powerful and open, listen to this, when confronted with a conspiracy so powerful and open that all of David's friends abandoned him. It says, according to Luke 23:46, Jesus on the cross applied to Psalm 31:5 to his own circumstances. Thus, those who share in his sufferings at the hands of, listen to this, please, I know it's so easy to shut off on Sunday morning for just a few brief time, but listen. Those who share in the sufferings at the hands of the anti-Christian forces are encouraged to hear and use this psalm in a new light. Did you hear that? Use this psalm in a new light. No psalm expresses a more sturdy trust in the Lord when powerful human forces threaten. The heart of prayer itself is found in verse 9 and 18. The heart of prayer itself is found. Listen to this psalm. I'm going to read it to you. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love. Do you hear that? I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in spacious places. Be merciful to me, O Lord. For I am in distress, and my eyes grow weary, weak with sorrow. My soul and body within me grieve. My life is consumed by anguish, my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am dread to my friends, and those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like a broken pottery, for I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. Now, I'm going to stop there real quick. You might not feel that way. And honestly, I don't feel that way in a lot of ways. I don't feel like that I've got some great persecution. I don't feel like my neighbors are running away from me or people are upset with me or anything like that. I feel like I'm just fitting in. Amen? Yeah? Doesn't seem like there's a big conspiracy theory going on right now or anything. Right? You know why that is? Because you're a frog in the blender. Or not in the blender, but in the pot. You know what? Honestly, the reason we don't feel it is because we're in there with all the other frogs. And we're all going, whew, it's getting a little warm, but it's not bad. There's nothing different. Are you getting what I'm saying? if all of a sudden we started becoming the light that God wanted us to, and I'm not saying being a judgmental person, I'm not saying, oh, you're right, this is wrong, and you're doing that wrong, and you're doing this wrong, but if we just started acting in love as Christ has called us to, which we're going to see here in just a second, if all we did was start acting as Christ called us to as Christians, to love people unconditionally with a gracious, amazing, sacrificial, incredible love, reaching out to them, not judging them, not condemning them, not doing any of these things, but just loving them as Christ has called us to love them, guess what? We would be so different, so weird, that people actually would say there's something wrong with them. But guess what? There's not something wrong with you. There is something totally right with that. That's what he's called us to be. What fears for me, what scares me, what concerns me so greatly, and I'm including myself in this, I am not different enough from the world for them to see that I should be set apart. And I don't see the church doing that either. Am I wrong in saying this? Am I being condemning to you? I'm not trying to be. I'm trying to wake us up to recognize that God is calling us to something different. Anybody? He's calling us to change. You know what he's calling us more than anything? Is to repent. To truly repent from the path that we're on right now and turn to him. To be the light that he's called us to be. If you go on that psalm, it's amazing. It says, but I trust in you, O Lord. I'm not worried about the things of the world going on. I'm not worried about what people are saying. I'm not worried about what people are doing. I'm not worried about what is coming, no matter what it is. I don't have to worry about the end because I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from your enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant and save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, if I have cried out to you, but let the wicked be put to shame and the lie silent in the grave. Let their lying lips be silent, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, who bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling, you keep them safe from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me. When I was besieged in a city, in my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight, yet you heard my cry for mercy. And when I called to you for help, says, love the Lord, all the saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. You see, Jesus and Stephen, I think, knew Psalm 31. I think they knew it probably from beginning to end. I think the Spirit of God had inspired that in their hearts and was the encouragement of who they were. And they summarized it, both of them, in a few short words. Father, receive my spirit. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You know what they're saying in those few short words? Is I trust in you. Completely. My hope, my future, all that I am, is tied up in where you're at. And I want to be where you are. I want to be with you, is what they're both saying. I don't have to fear the things that are going on around me. I just need to keep my eyes focused on you. Jesus, receive my spirit. It says, and Stephen fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Does that sound familiar? take a look back, if you want to, real quick again, back in Luke chapter 23. It's the same thing that Jesus said about the people who hung him on the cross. Almost word for word. He says, don't hold this sin against them. You know what he's doing? He's doing something really weird. He's praying for his enemies. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it should. Look with me in Matthew chapter 5. I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 5. Everyone's saying, yeah, you say that, and then you just keep going. Two places in Matthew chapter 5. Two places. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. We've already looked at this in the last couple weeks. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted. There's that word again. We might be looking at this for a little while, for the next few weeks. I don't know. We'll see. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Now, did you catch that little because of? It didn't say, blessed are those who are persecuted because they're jerks. You heard that, right? It didn't say, blessed are those who are persecuted because of their self-righteousness. That's not what it says. It doesn't say, blessed are those who are persecuted because of their political stance. Right? Everyone's reading the same Bible, right? Is there any translations that say any of those things? Okay, good. Because my translation, every one that I've looked at, says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Now, where is my righteousness? Do I have righteousness? My righteousness is but what? Dirty rags. But my righteousness comes from what? The blood of Jesus. Blessed are those, so let's translate this a little bit. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of the blood of Jesus. What does the blood of Jesus represent? It represents forgiveness and good news. It represents redemption. Blessed are those who are relying on the blood of Jesus, who are hanging on and clinging to the forgiveness of Jesus, his grace and his mercy and his love. Blessed are those, because if you are doing that, if you're hanging on to the blood of Jesus, if you're living by the grace of God, you are radically different from this world. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Did you hear that? Again, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. I'm not trying to boil a dead frog, but I want you to hear it. It's not because of all your stuff, but it says because of me. If people insult you, say bad things, lie about you because of the name of Jesus, because of Jesus shining through you, because of the difference Christ is making in your life, not because you're a jerk, not because you're storing up stuff and not sharing it, not because you cut someone off in traffic, not because you harp on somebody about all these different things, but because of the grace of Jesus that shines in your life, not darkens other people's paths, but the grace of Jesus that shines in your life. If people are insulting you for that, woohoo! Praise God. I'd love to see it. Amen, little Vern. At least I know one is listening. All right. Look what it says. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Take a look with me in Matthew. Same chapter, chapter 5. Getting down to verse 38. Here we go. And here's where it's going to come, guys. Because it's not a fight, okay? We've got to get this in our heads right now. We've got to get in there early. We've got to get in there often. This is not a fight against Islam, okay? This is not a fight against our government. This is not a fight against people, okay? This is a fight against principalities. This is a fight against darkness. You know what? We've got focused on this idea that we're in a fight with another person. You know what? That other person is exactly like me, all right? They are in need of a Savior, and there's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. The battle that we have is not taking their guns away or killing them before they kill us or any of this other stuff. The battle that we have as Christians is to let them know that Jesus loves them. That's the battle we have. You can't fight a spiritual battle with weapons. You have to fight a spiritual battle, and that's what we're in. We have to fight spiritual battle with the spiritual presence and the spiritual presence of God. We need to fight it with love and grace. You're saying, oh, you don't know these people. Yeah, I do, because it's the same people that stoned Stephen. It's the same anger. It's the same hatred. It's the same misunderstanding of who God is and who Jesus Christ is. That's what they're fighting against, and they don't even know it. Listen to what it says. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, this is Jesus talking, not me. You don't have to take my word on this, okay? Take his. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the cheek, this is so against my grain. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Is anyone else, is this grating on somebody else? It's just hard. Because this goes against everything in my nature. Amen? You're not just saying that about me, are you? Okay. It just goes against everything in my nature because my nature is not this. But you know what? I don't get to live by my nature anymore. If I'm a child of God, I live by the power of the Spirit. And the power of the Spirit says, it's time to change your ways. Give to the one who asks you. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Verse 43. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies. Listen to this. Love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you. You see the connection? What did Stephen do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, forgive them, because they don't understand who you are. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. Sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father. Frogs, wake up. Understand the time that you're in, the circumstances that we're in. Create a plan in your mind of what you're going to do and who you're going to be. But remember where your life is at. Who's in control from beginning to end? I'm going to lead you one more passage, and there's so many. There's so many. I want to read you one more passage. And if you're not out of the pot yet, I'm hoping you're at least climbing towards the top to look over. This is 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, finally, all of you, just kind of summing this up, and I'm going to do it with his words rather than mine. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For who would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from his evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Verse 13, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Did you hear that? Do not fear what they fear, and do not be frightened. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It's better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. In chapter 4, verse 7. And again, I'm going to preface this, okay? This was written 2,000 years ago, okay? 2,000 years ago. And I am saying it today to you, recognizing that I'm saying it with the same heart that it was written 2,000 years ago. So when I read this to you, don't imply, oh man, Eldon's saying something here, okay? I am saying something here, but I don't know. Verse 7, the end of all things is near. There it is. The end of all things is near. Written 2,000 years ago. Was it true 2,000 years ago? Come on, somebody. Was it true 2,000 years ago? Yes, it was. It was absolutely true 2,000 years ago. When it was written, the end of all things is near. When it was written to the audience that he was writing to in 1 Peter, it was absolutely true. Is it true today? Yes, it is. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, listen to what it says. Above all this stuff, it says, love each other deeply. There's that love thing again. Love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift, listen to this, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Don't be surprised about these painful trials. Don't let it shock you. Stay faithful. What do we battle it with? What do we fight against the things that are going on in the world? The heat that is being turned up. What do we battle it with? Do we battle it with our righteousness, our words, all these different things? What do we battle it with? What have you learned? What do we battle these times with? With love. The love of Christ overflowing in his people will conquer all things. His love. It's time for us to step up and show Christ's love. It's time for people to stop waiting in the wings for someone else to do it. It's time for us, for you and me, right here, right now, to show the love of Christ to the world, to everyone. Good, bad, and the indifferent. Let me tell you a little secret, and then I'm done. You cannot do this on your own. you are incapable, unable to do this by your own strength, with your own heart, with your own willpower. I'm going to love them no matter what. You can't do it. The only source that will give you the strength and the power and the knowledge and the understanding when to love and when to back away is through that Spirit of God that lives in you. You don't have your own ability to do this. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit to charge you up, to inspire you, and enable you to love the way that we're talking about. You need Jesus. You need Him in your life. Some of you have got Him there. You've planted Him in there. The seed has been planted in your heart, in your body, in your being. He's there, but He needs to be fed. That relationship needs to grow in order for you to do the things that God is calling you to do. It's time to start putting Jesus Christ as a priority in your life. Do you hear me? Don't turn out. We're almost to the end. You got to start putting Christ as a priority in your life, in your everyday life, not a Sunday morning hour thing, an everyday thing. We need to read His Word. We need to be on our knees praying. We need to have Jesus in every aspect, every decision that we're making. When a truck goes out, Jesus needs to go with that truck. When I enter into the field, Jesus needs to go with me in the field. When I walk through the doors of my workplace, I need to recognize that Jesus needs to come with me because I am unable to deal with the wonderful people in my work environment on my own. I need Jesus with me at every step, every decision, everything that I do. I need Him. Yes? And I work with Andrea and Nathan. I need them. You need them too, don't you, when you walk in? We need Him. He's not going to force Himself. We have to come to Him. And He'll receive us. If you need to grow that relationship today, please. I know I say it almost every week, but start growing it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the water gets so hot that all of a sudden you recognize, oh no, it's hot. I need Jesus. And start trying to find Him then. Don't wait till it's so hot because you are going to be so atrophied at that point in time, you'll never get to Him. You'll never know Him completely. Right now, while the water is still at a place that you can function, find Jesus. Develop that relationship. Get out of the pot. Know that He's worthy. If you need Jesus for the first time today, we're going to sing a song. If you need help, as we sing the song, it's very simple. Very simple. He doesn't make it hard. If He made it hard, none of us would do it. It's very simple. If you need Jesus, as we're singing this next song, I'm going to invite you to walk down the aisle, just like my wife is doing right now. You've got Jesus, don't you? You're just getting ready to sing, aren't you? Just like she did, just walk down the aisle, and I'm going to be standing here. You know what? I'm not going to do anything weird. I'm just going to pray with you. I'm going to ask Jesus to come into your heart. You're going to ask Him to come into your heart. If you need to take the next step of obedience, we're ready to do that today. We got water in the baptistry, and it's warm. If you need Jesus, today is a great day. If you just need to renew that relationship, guess what? Don't wait till tomorrow. Today is a great day to know Jesus better. Let's stand as we sing.